In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So, today is the 30th day of the blessed month of Ba'una, so that means it's the fifth Sunday of the month. And whenever there's a fifth Sunday of the month, it's considered a blessing to have an extra Sunday. And so the Church, in her wisdom, reads for us the gospel of the miracle of feeding the multitude with the five loaves and the two fish, because there were leftover 12 fragments, 12 baskets of fragments left over as blessings for the people. In fact, it's the same gospel that was read for Vespers last night, and then Matins, and then today for the liturgy, from the different evangelists. We've talked about this miracle a lot. So we will not discuss the miracle per se, but I want to take a different spin today in regards to the gospel reading. I want you to think about the solutions that were posed for this issue that the disciples were facing. What were some of the solutions? Well, we hear in the gospel that they were saying, send the multitude away. Another solution was, let's count how much money we can gather together to feed all of these people. A third solution was, well, here's this little boy that has five loaves and two fish, but how is that going to solve the problem? There was a lot of ambiguity in the minds of the disciples, and that's what I want to talk about today. Ambiguity. Because in the life of Christianity, we have to be able to embrace it, as difficult as it is. Nobody wants to do it. Because we want to control our reality. We want everything to be under our discretion and directive. And that's okay, because we're rational creatures. God gave us an intellect to think. When we begin to embrace uncertainty, then we become less rigid. We become less black and white. We become softer, malleable, more flexible. We can be shaped by God. The Desert Fathers understood this concept very well, and there's a story that probably you're all familiar with, and maybe I've recited it to you before, when one day a number of the brethren came to see Ave Anthony, and wishing to test them, Ave Anthony mentioned a text from the scripture, and he asked each one of them what they thought it meant. And he went to the first, and the first one gave his opinion. He went to the second, and the second one gave his opinion. When he went to the third, Ava Joseph said, I don't know. And Ava Anthony complimented Ava Joseph for saying, I don't know. He said, truly Ava Joseph has found the way, for he said, I don't know. Metropolitan Callistus Ware says that it's not the task of Christianity to provide easy answers for every question, but to make us aware of mystery. We have to know that God is mystery. The sacraments are mystery. The Holy Trinity is mystery. Grace is mystery. He says, God is not so much the object of our knowledge as he is the cause of our awe. You know what awe is? It's like when you open your eyes and your mouth and you just don't understand, but you stand silent before God because of his greatness and majesty. That's difficult for us because we are rational, reasonable creatures. But it's okay to say, I don't know. I'm willing to enter the mystery as best as I can. In Orthodox theology, there's something called apophatic. Apophatic. Apophatic means, that's kind of like negative theology. It's an attempt to describe God in terms of things that he is not. Like, he is indescribable, he is ineffable, he is eternal, he is infinite. We know what he is not, and that's how we try to describe God. And this is more popular, by the way, than what we call cataphatic theology, where we attempt to describe God by the way he's revealed to himself to us. Like, God is love, God is gracious, God is merciful, God is. So apophatic It was popular among the theologians such as Saint Cyril of Jerusalem and Tertullian and the Cappadocian Fathers. I correlate that to ambiguity. It's like approaching and emphasizing that we don't know as a way of knowing. If you ever enter graduate school to get your doctorate in psychology, they say the sign of mental health, the sign of good mental health, is the ability to handle ambiguity, the ability to handle uncertainty. That means you're sound in judgment and reasoning. St. Gregory of Nyssa says, God's name is not known, it is wondered at. It is wondered at. Again, people stand in silence when they begin to reflect on God. In the Orthodox Church, because it's such a mysterious one, and because there's some I don't knows, even among the greatest theologians, in the early church, when they were catechizing people, instructing them in the faith, they would hold off on teaching them the Gospel of St. John. They'll go through the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but for the catechumens who were still babies in the faith, they would not reveal to them the Gospel of St. John because it's of a high theology, a high mystery, and we're supposed to move into that high mystery kind of slowly and gradually. So, being able to say, I don't know at times, and being willing to live with that kind of uncertainty is both psychologically healthy and mature, but more importantly, spiritually mature as well. I know that I don't know what the future holds for me, but I know that Christ knows all and I trust him. I know that God's providence is perfect and I enter into him. Why do you think we pray in the Lord's Prayer and say, thy will be done and not my will? Why do you think in the liturgy we say, manage our lives as what? As deemed fit, as you deem fit, because what I deem fit might be completely wrong for me. Manage our lives as deemed fit. Of course, there's a number of stories about ambiguity in the Bible, and particularly in the sayings of Christ. For example, when he was hung on the cross, what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them. Why? For they know not what they do. They certainly seemed like they knew what they were doing. They were so convinced that he needed to be put to death. Right? Those that were at the foot of the cross, crying out and saying, crucify him, his blood be upon us and upon our children. They didn't know what they were doing. So we too, we don't know what we're doing sometimes, but that's okay. That's okay. The more we know that we just don't know, the more we're able to reach God. The more we're able to rely on God, the more we become dependent like little children on God. When our Lord Jesus Christ asked his two disciples, John and James, the brothers, he was talking to them and they were asking to be placed in his kingdom, one on his right and one on his left. Remember his response? You do not know what you're asking. You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink with? And of course they said, yes, of course we can. They didn't understand what he meant by drinking from the cup. It meant, are you able to enter into my suffering? Are you able to enter into death with me? They didn't know what was to come later. They didn't know. They didn't know. In another place, our Lord Jesus Christ said, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. So you don't understand now, that's okay. You don't need to know now. It's very clear. Or when Christ also said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Watch therefore, for you don't know when the day is, when the hour is. It couldn't be more clear that God was being unclear. Our Savior Jesus Christ was being unclear. So when the Lord says to them, feed the multitude, what do you mean feed the multitude? There's 5,000 men, not including the women and children. And when he says to them, group them in groups of 50 and let them sit down. What do you mean put them in groups of 50? Then what? Ambiguity. That's something that can creep into our lives, and it has, I'm sure, if you are to reflect back on your situations. Now, there are many things that happen to us in life from others, experiences with others, and what they do to us that maybe rubs us the wrong way. And there's an entire universe of reasons that people behave the way they behave. It's just that we don't know it. You know, why is this dude pushing himself way up into the front of the line? That's not fair. Why wasn't I asked to be a chaperone on the youth trip? Why was the cashier so obnoxious to me? Something like that. We don't know. But there are probably very good reasons behind all that. Maybe the obnoxious cashier had just received a phone call from his doctor who had read his blood results, the test, and found that there's something positive and is pretty serious. We just don't know. We don't know. It's good to give people the benefit of the doubt. Unfortunately, we're sorely tempted to infer motive, in other words, to jump to conclusions about others because we think we know. But do we really know? We don't know. We really don't know. So the way out of ambiguity is prayer. And that's why when Abuna says to you, pray about it, he's not just dismissing you. He's giving you a solution. To pray is to enter out of uncertainty, to call on the name of Jesus. Saint Hezekiah, he says, the more that the rain pours down upon the earth, the more it softens the earth, so too the holy name of Christ. The more we call upon it, the more it softens the earth of our heart and fills it with joy and delight. How do you like that? The more you call upon the name of God, the more your heart is softened, the more you can accept with joy and delight your experiences. Ambiguity is a loss of control. And control is as a defense mechanism that we all have built within us against fear. We have it against immaturity. We fear the things that we are not mature enough to handle. And so we want to control. It makes us feel secure. There's one quick funny story. I'll share it with you. And then we'll come to the end. In regards to ambiguity. So ambiguity is kind of similar to what in psychology we call cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance. What that is disharmony between differing thoughts or between thoughts and behavior within myself. Disharmony, like just uncomfortable feeling between two things in my mind and in my behaviors. So there's a story that I'll relay it to you that I read in the book of a seminarian from Alaska. Alaska. Have you been to Alaska? It's really cool. Really cool, okay? So there's a seminarian who flew out to St. Vladimir's. I think St. Vladimir's is in New York, right? And he did his work there. Now, New York was warm compared to where? Alaska. So this seminarian had this cognitive dissonance because he knew that God wanted him to follow this path, but he couldn't stand the warm weather. He can't stand the warm weather. So one day, there was a faculty member at the school who went to the kitchen and opened this walk. They had a huge walk-in refrigerator, and they found this seminarian inside the refrigerator reading his book. So the faculty member asked what he was doing, and he said he wanted to be in a place that he felt like home. So he kind of wanted to reduce his cognitive dissonance by changing his behavior. It's just a funny story to bring about the point of ambiguity and dissonance. So what I'm saying to you is be prepared to embrace ambiguity. And that requires an attitude adjustment. We're going to have to kind of bend our brains. We need to drop our mental burdens and cast the burdens on the Lord. So there are so many questions that we begin to struggle with. Why do we have to suffer in this world? How can God allow that? Why does evil abide in the world? Why do the bad guys get away with murder? Don't we ask that kind of question? How come they get to go all scot-free and they live their lives without suffering? And we who are honest and following the rules, We're punished for something here or there. Why do I have to be struck with an illness? Why is there alcoholism in my family? That's not fair. I didn't do anything to deserve that. Or a common one is, and I hear a lot, is why is my paperwork delayed in immigration ever since Trump's new policy? Right? Have you experienced that? My case has been open forever, yet all of these new immigrants that have come, their case is being processed quickly. Why? My answer to you is to enter into the mystery of God. Enter into the mystery of God. Why the earthquakes now? Why did I get rejected by a great school like Stanford? Why did my spouse have to leave this world early? Enter into the mystery as best as you can and embrace ambiguity, and you'll find that God is going to bring joy and delight to your heart, and glory be to God forever. Amen.